In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor Greg Huffman, as he shares the truth for the day.
Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry. It's always a joy to be able to have folks join us for these times. Dave and Julie Rudolph are with us from South Africa, and you folks have learned a few lessons about ministry and various opportunities. Just a few moments ago, we were talking about the team approach. Tell us, Dave, what you're thinking about there.
Well, when we first went to South Africa as missionaries, one of the concepts of ministry that had impressed us was the need to form ministry teams to be more effective mm-hmm. on the foreign field. There are so many cultural obstacles and challenges for Westerners going to fields around the world for cross-cultural ministry. And there are some missionary couples that are extremely capable of pioneering and doing mm-hmm. things on their own, but for the most part, that isn't so.
Yeah.
So we saw from the beginning the need to build a church planting strategy in a large city. We were in Cape Town, which had a population of 4.5 million back then. It's way, way bigger now. And to have an effective ministry, we needed to build a strategy that would attract missionary couples of like faith and practice.
Right, right.
And God bless it. We were in our mid-20s. We thought we knew everything. Obviously, we didn't. And God was gracious to build around us a team of missionaries who were more mature, better educated, greater experience to come and start churches in the city of Cape Town.
Now, did they come after you had arrived?
Yes. Well, our task there was to do a demographic survey of where the cutting edge of growth in the city of Cape Town was. Happened to be in the northern suburbs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we built a strategy. Mm-hmm. Wrote a vision for what could be accomplished in all of the cultural, language, economic mm-hmm. Groups around the city. And God had used that as a recruitment tool. And over the last 30 years, 30 churches have been started around the city of Cape Town. We have a camp and conference center, a seminary. None of that could ever have happened if we tried to do that on our own. Mm. And usually what happens in the case where maverick missionaries try these things on their own, the wives take it in the neck. It's really hard
yeah.
for the wives.
Yeah.
So team ministry has been an essential part for all of these years. And when we moved east of Cape Town to the Garden Route, 6 hours east, we did the same thing.
Okay.
Wrote a vision statement, attracted missionaries of like faith and practice around us, and God has used that. COVID is a good example. All right, so we got grounded here in the U.S.
Okay.
When COVID hit, we came for just a 2-month furlough.
Yeah.
It
yeah.
ended up being 8 or 9 months. And because of the dynamic of the team that we have on the field, mm-hmm. all of our responsibilities were covered
yeah.
by the team partners. So it's been a marvel to watch mm-hmm. them work in this way.
So you write a vision statement, and then you recruit. Where do you recruit? Come back to the States?
Well, it's electronic now. I mean, you can communicate electronically and attract attention from potential missionary families. But, yes, we work through the local churches. I get to speak in some seminaries. I did that in North Carolina just recently as a recruitment tool. But one of the ways in which we recruit is to invite, first of all, pastors from our sending
we
churches.
We actually recruited two of our supporting pastors.
Two of our supporting pastors have come.
One was from our home church.
Well, maybe their churches were tired of them. So we can't deny that it wasn't all our fault. But, no, the idea is that when we bring the supporting pastors out, they come back with a sense and a way to communicate the opportunities to their congregation
exactly.
or to students.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's a very good recruiting tool. The second one is to invite short-termers,
mm-hmm.
short-term missionaries mm-hmm. to come and get a sense of this.
But we've had some of our own members that have
yes,
come as short-termers.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's how that works. And there's a dynamic in play when there is a team mm-hmm. of church planters multiply gifted and experienced, serving God together with a common vision, a common goal.
Yeah.
We call it a shared vision.
Yeah.
And that's an exceptional thing. God has used that in an amazing way in our lives through the years.
So as you watch these churches being planted, you decided you needed to start like a Bible college or a Bible institute to train nationals to take over?
Well, we have, as you are aware, we have a complex society that has been has quite a religious heritage. So Christian denominationalism in its various capacities has had a good influence on South Africa. But through the generations, unfortunately, a works-based salvation emerged out of those denominations. And so many South Africans consider themselves religious, but they've been inoculated against the gospel by their denominational religion.
Yeah.
And so they're extremely difficult to reach. Even the African tribal people have been influenced by Christianity through the last few hundred years. And so there's a mixture of their animistic religion together with Christianity, so it's very confused.
Wow, I guess so.
And so the priority for us is to train South African men for ministry.
Okay.
In all of the cultural language groups, and particularly in the more primitive, poorer communities, African men are far more effective in reaching into their communities than Western Americans.
And they can live in that socioeconomic culture, whereas
Americans are not allowed to even. I mean, it's just, I mean, it would be risky for them to live, because whenever an African sees an American, they think wealth, they think money.
Yeah.
So it's a dangerous thing. So we have to be very cautious about that. So we place a high value on training African men. Now, the problem that we have is education levels are very low.
Okay.
So we have to have a skills development approach to leadership training on the front end, which elevates these men academically in time, which actually, because of the accredited program that we have, enables them to go on eventually and enter a bachelor's program and get a formal bachelor's degree one day if they so desire.
Sure, yeah.
So we're having to address on multiple levels how to train men and women for ministry, and so that's a priority for us for sure.
You mentioned a few minutes back about pressure on missionary wives. How do you deal with that?
I think Julie's the best one to address that.
I think one of the important things is when you're preparing to go to visit your field that you're going to. And a lot of missionaries don't do that. I didn't have that privilege. Of course, I married an African, so that did help me.
Yeah.
But to be there, to see the team that you're going to work with, to understand the culture so that when you get there, you know, you can create your home, you know what to bring, you're a little bit more.
So a preview trip is what you're describing.
I think a preview trip is really important. But when you're there, the team aspect that we've had has really helped the missionary wives to feel a sense of community. Of we're a little bit family, and so Dave and I are grandparents to the younger children on the field that have children of their own. And when these ladies are discouraged and going through difficult times, to be there to support each other. So that's one of the most important things. I think the team thing has been for our field and for the women in particular.
But there's something else about the wives that is helpful, but also for the men, is a time of orientation when they first arrive on the field.
That's right.
Americans come from this very fast-paced, energetic society and try to superimpose that energy on their mission field, which usually doesn't go over well.
Yeah.
And so coming out of this society, Americans need to just slow down, watch and observe for a while, and that's important for the wives to become enculturated to their community, know where the doctors are, how to adapt to the grocery shopping, get the education sorted for their kids. And so we suggest a 9-month period of orientation just to enculturate themselves. That's a vital part of team ministry. It's a great gift to incoming missionaries, for sure.
It actually takes a while to realize what you don't know. Because you get to the mission field and you're so excited to share what you know and share about Christ, But sometimes you don't know culturally what's the best way to do it. You think you do, but after a year or two, you realize, hey, I really didn't approach that in the right way because I didn't know. And so the orientation is really important for the wives.
Is that an organized orientation?
Well, on our field, we try to do it from family to family. So it depends who's coming. We have a system of things that we like to cover.
Okay.
But we do it in different ways depending on the age of the and experience of the family coming, whether they have children.
Or whether there's a language training involved.
What group they're going to be ministering to. That would. So it's very flexible. It has to be flexible.
And what's really nice is that we use all the families on our team who have the experience to pour into the lives of the new recruits, so the incoming family. And we like to think of ourselves, the word team is really a misnomer. We are a collaboration of like-minded ministry families forming a family, a ministry family together. Mm-hmm. We have that investment in each other's lives.
Yeah, right.
That is very personal, and, and it's integral to our success in the church planting.
And it becomes as important as your family on this side. I grew up in Canada. I had siblings. There were five of us.
Okay.
And I have a greater sense of family, really, to our team family now, because that is our reality. That is our life. We enjoy coming back here to see what is left of our family, but it's not the same as being family on the field.
Right.
We're really thankful for that.
Now, is there a formal location for language school?
No, no. The main language that our team members are learning is Afrikaans, which is a Dutch derivative. And so we form a class there on the field and recruit a language teacher to come.
Okay.
So there's no a formal college or anything available for us to do that. So we have to create a class depending on who has the need at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. How long does it usually take to learn that language?
The rest of their lives.
Okay.
You know, and our goal really is more conversational at this point, because we're training the nationals to take the lead, to pass on the bulk of the ministry responsibilities as quickly as possible.
Okay.
So our missionaries really need to just have a working knowledge of the language.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They very rarely preach in those languages. Because everybody in South Africa can speak English on some level.
So our ministry is totally in English. I very rarely speak Afrikaans.
So a professional language school wouldn't necessarily be?
Mm. No, that's not necessary for our kind of field.
Right. Does that help you recruit missionaries?
Yes, because I tell our the people I'm recruiting, look, everyone speaks English. That's easy.
Uh-huh.
Healthcare is phenomenal in South Africa. Education is of a high level.
Mm-hmm.
Security on our field is very secure. And the government hardly even knows that we exist. They don't really interfere with us. So it's a very easy field to encounter and to enjoy ministering with the opportunities. Mm-hmm. The 1040 window, a lot of recruiting is happening there.
Yeah.
I'm recruiting for Southern Africa because the doors are wide open for the moment. They may not always be.
Well, join us next time and we'll continue our conversation as you learn about ministries in new locations. God bless you.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program, have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to help us continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.